You're listening to Weekend Evenings with Suki Sadek on ABC Radio.
In a moment, we're going to chat to two very inspiring young men, Marlon Motlop and Rulla Kelly Mansell. AFL fans would know their names. Both are very successful footballers. They have teamed up for a different pursuit, music. And music with a message. And they're known as the duo Marlon and Rulla. And here's a little bit of what I think they have been working on.
And I can feel it, man, the energy, the synergy. You mimic me, deep down the truth is you're sick of me. Napalina, Cooperuna, Niara, I'm from a Tulumpunga, Larapuna, yeah, Luchawitza. Love for Larrakia and NT. Noongar's West, Curries, Murray's. All that love for all the Ghana mob in SA. They understand what I say, cause I talk like it.
Taking all our bad money as we're walking out the door. And they're leaving all of their loving. And she's telling him to let go. You can see it in the writing as we read it on your wall. She's a devil in disguise. And I'm a pawn to a lost pawn to a love. Cause. A black swan, stand up tall when you're singing. Cause you're singing for me, my man. Black swan, black swan, black swan. A black swan, stand up tall when you're singing. Cause you're singing for me, my man.
Hey, I don't feel like fading that out, but I have to because I want to get these boys on to talk to them about this. We'll play that in full in a little while. But they've had a huge start to 2021, including opening for Midnight Oil in Adelaide and feature spots at Darwin's Base in the Grass. And the new single, Black Swan, which we just played a little bit of, was out last week, and which was Reconciliation Week, and is the first official release by this young singer-songwriter duo. So first of all, I say hello to Marlon and Rulla. Hi there, guys.
Hello. Thanks for having us.
What's up?
Nothing much. But there's a lot up happening with you two. Now, tell me a little bit about the transition from football to music. Now, you're still playing, as we just, you know, we were chatting a little bit off air, and you guys are still playing football. But then how did this music scene all of a sudden develop?
I think we play football together at football club, and then we both knew we did music, but we hadn't really explored it. And then, yeah, it kind of just happened pretty organically. It took about 12 months in playing footy together to realise that we should maybe do something. Yeah, once we did it, it kind of just went on its own path. And it was in the middle of COVID as well, so it was like, you know, we had a bit of time up our sleeves, and yeah, we both make music ourselves, but we kind of come together, and I had this song that was unfinished and showed Marlon it, and then he kind of added, you know, the finishing touch and made it into what it is, which is unreal. And we kind of just went from there. It's been pretty fast. Yeah, it's been crazy.
So Marlon, tell me that, you know, how did each of you come to want to perform in front of crowds, but obviously not with your footy boots and jerseys, but in a very different way?
Yeah, I mean, for me personally, I think, you know, I've always wanted to, I guess, express myself in front of a crowd in terms of, you know, my music ability. For as long as I've been playing football, I've been playing music. My father was a student of music, so he taught me everything he was learning at university from an early age. And I guess the way life panned out and footy panned out, I was developing a little bit quicker in terms of, you know, my football career. So, yeah, I guess, you know, I'm kind of, you know, closer to the end of my career. So, you know, I've been playing music ever since I've been playing footy, and it's getting to a point now where, you know, we've been lucky enough to land some really great festival gigs and opportunities to play in front of people. So now we've got the lucky opportunity now to kind of bring our music careers to life a bit.
And Marlon, your dad wanted you to play the guitar, is that correct?
Yeah. Dad taught me on the guitar. He was a student of music. He went to university at Charles Darwin University, and yeah, he learnt on classical guitar. So he started off, you know, teaching me classical guitar. And I guess that's, yeah, kind of where it all stems from. And then, you know, you go on to listening to music, and you have your influences, you know. And I had, you know, very soulful rhythm and blues influence right throughout my career. And I guess that's how it translates into my writing and into my music.
Rolla, what about you? Where does your, you know, your inspiration for music come from?
I guess music for me, it's always been a part of my life, and I've never kind of seen life without music. So I don't really know like the other side of like, you know, finding it. It kind of was just always there. I learned guitar. I was taught guitar when I was younger. My uncle was a singer-songwriter, and I had an older brother as well. So I was just listening to his CDs and tapes. And I grew up in community as well, where we learnt dance and listen to music. And the area where I'm from in Tassie, in northern Tassie, it's quite small. The town's probably about 200 people. And where I went to primary school had about 70 kids there. So music was a big subject at school, at primary school. So I guess I just was always around music. It was always there, and I always felt a connection to it. I guess I think mum and dad bought me a guitar for maybe my 12th birthday or something, like around about that age. And I got given some lessons from a musician that I was doing some stuff with at the time that was traveling around. I was doing some Aboriginal dancing. But other than that, I was pretty much self-taught. And I just learned a few basic chords, and then I just kind of self-taught myself how to play the guitar through my teenage years. But again, it was a slow process. I learned pretty quickly that I couldn't sing. So I used to just write stuff, but I was too, too shame or too nervous to try and sing them. So I just would write them. I have all these sort of songs written even at 15 and 16, but when I discovered hip hop, I guess I just started learning how to write raps because, it's a nice substitute when you can't sing is to learn how to, I guess, become an MC.
Hey, I found something similar between you and me. I used to like to sing when I was a kid. I was given a guitar by my parents, but I would take my cousin along with me to my music classes, make him sit down and play the guitar while I would go at the back and have a samosa and not tell my parents what I was up to. So
nice.
There we go. So, you know, this whole decision with you two of becoming a duo and, you know, coming up with music together, is that because you were already playing as teammates, so it was just a natural progression?
Yeah, I think it was really just organic the way we would, you know, write and create together. I guess, you know, the few times very early on where we would sit down and create together, it was a very fluid process and create music very quickly. So we thought, let's just write as many songs as we can. And then in amongst all of that, we were landing some gigs, as I said earlier. So, then it put the pressure on us to really put the foot down and start writing and creating properly. And then we were lucky enough to form a band around us, which is full of, you know, four other First Nation artists. So, you know, they just add so much more depth and creativity to our product. And then they just, you know, form our sound around us. So, you know, we're in a very fortunate position that, you know, one, we can create together so fluidly, but also we're supported by an amazing, you know, First Nation band.
There's a huge difference, but this is for both of you, between, you know, a footballer's life and that of a singer, songwriter, or, you know, people who are into music. You will be missing the big games, won't you?
Yeah, in terms of just like missing playing or?
Yeah, missing playing, that entire rush, you know, of playing football.
Yeah, I mean, of course, it's like anything that you've been passionate about and you've played for, for a number of years. You know, I first started playing football when I was 12 and first started playing kind of senior football or men's football when I was 15. And, I'm 28, turning 29 this year. So for the most part of my life, it's been there. But I think also, football, because it's such a physical sport and such a demanding sport, I think when you can get to that stage, which I'm at now, to accept that although you might miss it, it's just a part of life. And you know, when you're younger and you have a lot of older players come and speak to you, they always talk about how much you might miss it, or to try and get the most out of yourself while you're playing, because once you're done, you're done. I think I'm just at that stage at the moment, and fortunately enough, I've been able to play for a long period of time at a good level, and My body's just not being able to do the things that it could when I was 24 and 25. And I'm still young, but just not being able to do that thing. I think I've accepted it probably sooner rather than later. So I'll probably be ready. But in saying that, I'll probably get to the last game and be like, oh, no, let's go again. But yeah, it will be different.
Do you feel the same, Marlon?
I've been stewing over it for a little bit in terms of, when to finish playing football altogether. And I'd kind of been on that decision-making process for about 2 or 3 years. So now I'm very content that, you know, this will be my last year of football, playing at SANFL level. And I've been away from home for, well, since I was 16. So I've put a very big chunk of my life into trying to be the best footballer I can be. And, you know, as a kid, I had a dream of playing AFL football and I got there. And then, you know, I also wanted to play SANFL football, which I'm still doing now. So I'm quite content that, you know, I'm ready to turn the page and enter a new chapter of life and invest, you know, a lot of my time into music and business now, which is something that I'm, you know, super excited about.
And I think it's fantastic that you both are thinking this way because, you know, with any sport that is, you know, that takes up so much of your physical self, I think every player has to be mentally prepared. That's not going to go on forever. It's going to have its ending, and it's better to be prepared and to step into a world that you are comfortable with, or, you know, something that you like to do so that you can move on to the next thing.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I know it's kind of getting a bit off tangent to the music, but, you know, I always use my brother as an example. I'm fortunate that he's 7 years older. So I kind of see, it's kind of a bit weird. I kind of see what he does and try and learn off it sometimes. And he's still playing football now at, you know, into his mid 30s. And I think, brother, just give it away. Just go relax, be with the fam. And so I kind of look at that and go, you know, nah, I know when the time comes that it's ready and I can just move on and get into music and other things in life.
Yeah, well, all the power to you both. Now, tell me a little bit about the Midnight Oil gig. I'm so curious. How big was that?
Yeah, WOMAD was huge, I guess. I mean, yeah, we were only about 3 months in after forming Marlon and Rollo and you know, bringing in the band behind us to back us in. So, you know, WOMAD was literally our second gig ever in front of 6,000 people opening up to Midnight Oil. So, you know, we were, you know, people were like, oh, man, are you ready? Are you scared? But we were like, nah, we're super ready for this. You know, we've been talking about this in our own worlds individually for such a long time to get on a stage and to get on a platform like this to be able to express, you know, our artistry. So to be able to do it together, you know, on the biggest night of WOMAD and perform in before the Oils was super, super exciting. And we're super fortunate and super grateful that, you know, the team from WOMAD, you know, loved having us there and gave us that opportunity.
Right. And Rolla, just a little while ago, you mentioned, you know, about the writing of the song. So going back to the writing of Black Swan, the rapping, what inspired that, the words and the sound?
Yeah, there's a few things that inspired it, but I guess the timing of it was right about when AB Original, which is Briggs and Childs, dropped their album Reclaim Australia, which for a hip-hop album, First Nations hip-hop artists, was the first kind of album that was so mainstream. You remember the song January 26 was just everywhere, you know, it just dominated the, you know, Australian music at that time, and it kind of gave a bit of I guess courage and strength that in a hip hop format you could write a song and people would listen to it in a mainstream audience. But so that was one aspect to it. It was right around that time. So that was where the kind of inspiration to go, no, I'm going to write a song like this in a hip hop format. But then I guess the inspiration, of course, was obviously from, you know, I'm an animal keeper by trade. And every day I'd watch the Black Swan, and they're quite a unique animal, and they have such a presence, even though they're so, you know, not big in stature. But I was really intrigued by the Black Swan, and at the same time, you know, you constantly reflect on your life as an Aboriginal person in this country, and where I'm from in Tassie, it's, you know, it's obviously, you know, quite overpopulated. Well, not overpopulated, but there's a lot more non-Aboriginal people there than there is Aboriginal people, and I'd constantly be asked, you know, where are you from? What's your mom? What's this? Or wherever I went, people always ask that because, you know, I'm light skinned. I'm a light skinned brother boy, and people always kind of like look at you like, well, where are you from? Like, what, you know, like kind of almost implying that, you know, are you Aboriginal? Or, you know, what? That was kind of the feeling I always got when people would ask that. So, and I was always raised by proud parents and proud mum. Who's very staunch, and she always told me to stand up proud and say where you're from. So That's kind of the other aspect to it. And then I guess lastly was obviously just to pay homage to the people that have gone before us and paved the way and given us a platform for us to be able to have a voice, like Uncle Archie Roaches and Uncle Kev Carmonies and Titters and Michael Longs and Nicky Wimmer and all these amazing people that have made it on a mainstream platform in Australia and sort of done it for their mom. In a summary, that's kind of how Black Swan was inspired.
And is that the song is political hip hop rap? It's got a punch to it. Is that the kind of style of music that you both are looking to make in the future?
Yeah, no, the way I write and the way what comes out is it's not an intention of mine to be political in any way, shape or form. I think for me, I'm just writing about my reality and my lived experience as an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander person in Australia. And I think there's a lot of similar experiences that other Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, other First Nations people can draw from our stories. And I think listening to just not only my story, but Rulla's story and, other First Nation artists' story, you gain power and you gain strength from that. And then I guess you gain more strength from the amount of numbers that you can grab of those stories that are just similar to your own. So, and I guess that the second phase of that is just to be able to try and educate our peers and our non-Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander, counterparts that we share this nation with is just, there's a lot to learn. I feel that there's a real shift happening in our country with non-Aboriginal people wanting to learn more and getting more assertive in terms of seeking education opportunities. And, we're in a space where we write and make music. So I think, we've got a responsibility to not only write and create music, but also educate the wider community on, our lived experiences and our life growing up as an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander person or people in our country.
Well, Marlon and Rulla, thank you so much for coming on Weekend Evenings and having a chat with me. We're going to play your song in full. But again, thanks for taking our time and chatting with us. They're AFL footballers, now turned musicians. And they've got a brand new song out, which is called Black Swan, which we're going to play for you in full in just a moment. Thank you, boys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate that.
And here it is.
I'd like to thank Uncle Archie and my sisters, Titters, Dan Salt and Kev Comedy, paving the way for me and many to stand up tall. Young, black and deadly, I'm proud and ready. I'm the black prince to many, like Michael Long kicking goals on that telly. Yup, change that day, I'll change your mind, boy. Perspective, your way of life you may deny. I promise if we get this right, we'll be living in our day where our days are fine. But it makes me sad that we can't understand all this pain from stealing the land. And I'm a proud Aboriginal man. That's why I got our flag tattooed on my hand. Cause we're the oldest in civilization, yet we're the coldest in a hypocritical nation. So I'm waiting for the day that you're proud. All my people not mistaking us as patients on a race it and never answer minimal information. A black swan, stand up tall when you're singing, cause you're singing for me, my man. Black swan, black swan, black swan. A black swan, stand up tall when you're singing, cause you're singing for me, my man. My man, na-na-na-na-na. I was floating down this river and looked out the side, and I saw all this land get took. And yeah, I'm sick of all these white fellas thinking that they know better when they knew never. Yeah, and man, I stand up for what I believe, that's the answer. Question time, freedom of speech with a plan, but that's why I stand pants down with my hands up, bruh. I get asked about 3 times a week if I'm Aboriginal, but see, don't matter what the colour of your skin, where you've been, brother. Written in my blood, black history, brother. And I can feel it, man, the energy, the synergy. You mimic me deep down, the truth is you're sick of me. Napalina, Kuparuna, Niara, I'm from a Tulumpanga, Larapuna, yeah, Luchawitza.
Love for Larrakia and NT, Nunga's West, Curry's, Murray's. All that love for all the Ghana mob in SA. They understand what I say, cause I thought like
it. Taking all our bad money as we're walking out the door. And they're leaving all of their loving. And she's telling him to let go. You can see it in the writing as we read it on your wall. She's a devil in disguise. And I'm a pawn to a lost pawn to a love. Cause. A black swan, stand up tall when you're singing. Cause you're singing for me, my man. Black swan, black swan, black swan. A black swan, stand up tall when you're singing. Cause you're singing for me, my man. My man, na 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 na. Black swan, stand up tall when you're singing. Cause you're singing for me, my man. Black swan, black swan, black swan. A black swan, stand up tall when you're singing. Cause you're singing for me, my man. Black swan, black swan, black swan. A black swan, stand up tall when you're singing. Cause you're singing for me, my man. Black swan, black swan, black swan. Black swan, stand up tall when you're singing. Cause you're singing for me, my man. Black swan, black swan, black swan. Black swan, black swan, black swan. Black swan, black swan, black swan.
Marlon and Rulla there with Black Swan.
You're listening to Weekend Evenings on ABC Radio.